Shalom and welcome to Shomer Mitzvot, Torah Observant, a series on practical messianic living and apologetics. I'm the author, Torah teacher Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi. Torah observance is a matter of the heart. It always has been and always will be. The Torah proper instructed the people of Israel to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your resources. This is where Shomer Mitzvot begins, by loving Hashem and accepting Him on His terms. By this, I mean accepting His means of covenant obedience. For today, this means acceptance of Yeshua, His only Son, for Jew and non-Jew alike. Shalom, everyone. This is Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi, and this recording is taking place in my own home studio because that night on Monday night live, when we held the live class, the recording didn't work. So technical difficulties. I'm re-recording the teaching for you here so you can continue and follow along. We're picking up on week 12. With our study on towards understanding the new covenant and Yeshua's term new commandment. And tonight we're going to study the topic called Yeshua's new commandment. So before we get started, let me open up in prayer and then I'll do a little bit of liturgy out of the prayer book and then we'll jump into the study. It shouldn't be a long study. It's really a short section, okay? Let's pray. Abba, we bless your name. Avinu Malkeinu, we come before you, our Father and our King. We say, praise your holy name. Bless you for your abundance, for your goodness, for your mercy, for your kindness, for the seasons that we're in, for Shavuot that we have just gone through, for the outpouring of your Ruach HaKodesh. Father, we give you praise for sending your Son Yeshua so that he can cause us to come once again into right relationship with you. Thank you, Father, that the Spirit has opened our eyes so that we can remember the words of Yeshua. Father, we ask you now to bless us tonight as we embark once again on this study of topics that are sometimes confusing to us. Lord, we want to understand your words so that we can be pleasing to you first and foremost, but we also want to be empowered so that we can take the good news out there to those who have not yet heard. Be with us, Father. Help us to retain what we're learning. Help us to change from the inside. Help us to be strengthened as we take our stand against the adversary and against the darkness that is plaguing this world. Help us to be lights in the right place. Give us the words to speak and the power and the speech and the just the influence among people that we don't know so that we can take the good news to them. Thank you, Father, for this study. Bless the teacher because he doesn't have all the answers. Bless each and every student who is participating during this study. May their capacity to learn be enlarged. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Okay, let's read a little bit of liturgy out of the prayer book as I'm used to doing. This is from page 18 and 19. I'll read the English first. This is the blessing of the Torah. I'm going to read 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs. One is from a rabbi. One is, well, I think two are from rabbis. One is straight out of the Torah, and then one is out of the Mishnah, which I believe is Aramaic. So let's read. First blessing. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments and has commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Please, Hashem, our God, sweeten the words of your Torah in our mouth and in the mouth of your people, the house of Israel. May we and our offspring and our offspring's offspring and the offspring of your people, the house of Israel, all of us know your name and study your Torah for its own sake. Blessed are you, Hashem, who teaches Torah to his people, Israel. The Hebrew reads, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah, v'ha'arev na Adonai Eloheinu et divrei Toratcha b'finu ufyot amcha beit Yisrael. V'nihya anachnu, v'tzetzeinu, v'tzetzeinu, v'tzetzei amcha beit Yisrael. Kulanu yodea shmecha v'lomdei Toratecha lishma. Baruch ata Adonai hamlamed Torah la'amo Yisrael. The second paragraph reads, Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, who selected us from all the peoples and gave us His Torah. Blessed are you, Hashem, giver of the Torah. The Hebrew reads, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam, asher bachar banu mekol ha'amim, v'natan lanu et Torato. Baruch ata Adonai notein ha'Torah. The third paragraph is taken from the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 through 27, and it reads, quote, And Hashem spoke, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, So shall ye bless the children of Israel, saying to them, May Hashem bless you and safeguard you. May Hashem illuminate his countenance for you and be gracious to you. May Hashem turn his countenance to you and establish peace for you. Let them place my name upon the children of Israel, and I shall bless them. The Hebrew reads, Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe leimor, Daber el Aharon ve'el benayv leimor, Kol tivahu et bnei Yisrael amor lechem. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yair Adonai panayv elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panayv elecha, V'yasem lecha shalom, V'samu et shmi al b'nei Yisrael, V'ani avarechem. And the final paragraph is taken from Mishnah Peah 1:1. And again, I believe this is Aramaic, but it's going to sound like Hebrew anyway. These are the precepts that have no prescribed measure. The corner of a field, which must be left for the poor, the first fruit offering, the pilgrimage, acts of kindness, and Torah study. The Aramaic reads, Elu devarim she'ein lahem shi'ur, ha'peah, v'habikurim, v'harayon, u'gmilut chasadim, v'talmud Torah. And that'll do it for tonight. All right, let's turn in our handout, which I've updated. If you're looking at the PDF version, I'm starting on page 14 with the paragraph entitled New Covenant and New Commandment Part 3, Yeshua's New Commandment. And the reason the page numbers have changed is because I received a request to include the prologue that we did way back in week one with the Ruach within versus Ruach without that whole prologue part. I decided to incorporate that into the larger commentary, so suddenly the pages jumped like, you know, four or five pages. So we're starting on the near the bottom of page 14, and what I'm going to do also is I have decided to start making interactive, well, slides, PowerPoint slides, to go along with the audio. So I might call out next slide, and so if you're watching this by way of YouTube video, then basically the slides will change as I call them out. Okay, hope that doesn't confuse anyone. Let's get started. We've already talked about this topic of how that basically Yeshua is giving us a new way of understanding His Father's Torah. And when I say new, it's not new in contrast to what Moshe gave us. It's not new in contrast to what Hashem already gave Israel through Moshe and handed down and preserved through the prophets. It's new because Yeshua is demonstrating for us the fullest measure of how to walk out His Father's Torah. And so we talked about covenant status. Is it earned or is it freely given? Really an absurd discussion, if you think about it, why it should have to have such a discussion among Christians and Jews. Is our covenant status earned or freely given? Of course, it's freely given, but that doesn't negate the fact that we have a covenant responsibility on our part to walk out the commandments. So while God freely gives his covenant, while God freely extends his covenant to us, that is to say it's not earned, it is freely given, there are still responsibilities that we are expected to walk out and walk into. So now we're moving into this section about how is it that Yeshua's commandment that he gives us is new? Is it new in quality? Is it new in time? Is it new, again, in comparison to what Moshe gave us? I mean, are we to abandon what Moshe gave us and now pick up what Yeshua gave us? Of course, it's no secret that in common Christian circles that this idea of new covenant or New Testament entails the idea of leaving behind the old covenant or Old Testament. We walk away from that which was given to us before, that is, the parts that make us look Jewish, and we walk into the new covenant that Yeshua gives us. It's popular within Christian circles to imagine that we no longer have to keep the Torah in favor of the New Testament or in favor of what Jesus has handed down to us. And that's what we're going to challenge in today's teaching. So let's start by reading a quote out of John chapter 13, verse 34. We're on the first slide here. Quote, "A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another," end quote. The first thing we have to ask ourselves as we listen to the words of the Master here, hasn't the Torah always commanded us to love one another? I mean, is this really a new commandment? If you remind yourself of what the Torah has in fact already taught us, you're going to learn, or you're going to remind yourself, you're going to affirm, that is, that yes, the Torah has always taught us to love one another. So Yeshua isn't really giving us something new here, quite just yet. He says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another." So the Torah has in fact commanded us to love one another. Let's turn to Leviticus, or Vayikra in Hebrew. Let's turn to Leviticus 19, verse 18, and I just want to read the last half of it, and it reads, "V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha," which being translated is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So God has always commanded us to love one another, right? "V'ahavta l're'acha kamocha," love your neighbor as yourself. So that part isn't really new. So we have to start going down this discussion path of what part of it is new. Let's turn to the next slide. The noticeable contrast, if we just take the raw data that Jesus gave us, the noticeable contrast in the Peshat, the simple view, the raw data here, is that love is shown by Yeshua's own example to be compared with yourself, whereas Yeshua compared love with "as I loved you." Did you catch it there? Moshe said, "Love your neighbor as yourself," or "as you love yourself, love your neighbor." But when Yeshua gives us his command, he says, "Love one another as I have loved you." So let's talk about that for a while. In Yeshua's quote, the shift in emphasis has moved from myself to the Messiah. How is that significant in my life? How will that significantly impact the way I love other people? How are we to understand Yeshua's comparison and, I might add, clarification of this basic command? We're still commanded to love, but now we've got a new and greater example, right? Let's keep reading. How was Yeshua's love demonstrated to us? It's not easy to imagine. All we have to do is turn to the pages of the Apostolic Scriptures and read about it. Let's firstly, however, allow the Torah to answer. And when I say Torah, I don't mean Moshe. I mean the Apostolic Scriptures. That's right. Remind yourself that the New Covenant or the New Testament or the Apostolic Scriptures or the Berit Chadashah, or whatever you want to call that section in your Bible that begins with Matthew, That's Torah, people. That's Torah, because Torah is God's teaching. So let's allow the Torah to answer. What does the book of Ephesians say? Ephesians 5, verse 2. This is a quote from the KJV. Quote, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." End quote. Did you hear Paul's words there? Did you hear his admonition? How are we to demonstrate and model Yeshua's love as we walk it out in the communities that we encounter ourselves in, that we find ourselves within, that we encounter? Well, let's keep reading. Next slide. There's another verse in Ephesians. Let's keep reading. Chapter 5, verse 25. Quote, again, "Husbands, love your wives." How? As I interject, "even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it," end quote. So, what we're beginning to see quite easily, and it's no mystery here, I feel like I'm speaking to the choir, we see that Yeshua's love has been fully manifest for us in that he willingly laid down his life for us. The greatest example of love, right? To be sure, the Torah teaches, again, the New Testament, the Torah teaches in John 15, 13, again from the KJV, quote, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," end quote. And we know that this was how Yeshua demonstrated his love for us, right? He laid down his life for us. Let's move to the next slide and just take it. Let's learn this principle, right? And next slide. So we should be in a basic agreement. We should be in basic agreement that Yeshua's personal example of giving his life is what was new about this command, right? It was new to Moshe, or if I could get in my time machine and ask Moshe at the time that he was giving the commandment from God, Vahavta L'Reacha Kamoka, love your neighbor as yourself. If I were to go back in time and ask Moshe, can I love the way you're commanding me an example of the way Messiah has loved me? Moshe would have to scratch his head and say, huh? Messiah hasn't come and died yet. So you see, that part really is new. It's new in time. It's new because Yeshua hasn't fulfilled that part of his love for us. And we know that he's going to, and we know for sure that he's going to, because this is the reason why the Father sent him into the world, to die for us, to be the sacrifice for us. So, it is new. It is new. But, as I challenge us in my commentary here, is this a completely new Torah feature? Right? It's new in time. It is new. It's a new example, to be sure. But is it a completely new Torah feature? After all, Moshe was willing to die for the sake of all of Israel. And even before that, Isaac, Yitzhak, was willing to die at the hand of his father, Abraham, right? So, a person willing to die for his friends, is that a new Torah feature? Not quite, right? Moshe was willing to give his life for Israel. And as I gave you the other two examples there, Isaac and Moshe, I suppose just those two examples, right? They were willing to die. But the point is they didn't. They didn't. And even if they did, their death would not have satisfied the righteous requirement that Yeshua's did. Right? So this type of love that Yeshua is explaining to us, where he says a man lay down his life for his friends, it was in fact hinted at throughout the sacrificial system in the Torah. A man lays down his life for his friends. A man is willing to become a sacrifice if it will please God. A man is willing to step into the substitutionary role of being slain on behalf of his friends. That's what I mean by hinted at in the sacrificial system. Because in fact, the animal sacrifices played that role, did they not? They were the substitution for us. Really, if you think about it, we are the ones that should have been on the altar every time a person brought their sacrifice. But it was the mercy of God that allowed the animals to take our place. They died when we should have been dying. So that's what I mean by it was hinted at. But this type of love, which was hinted at all throughout the sacrificial system in the Torah, was only fully demonstrated in Yeshua's personal example, right? Wouldn't you have to agree? It was only after Yeshua came and personally demonstrated that not only was he willing to die for his friends, but that he was able and that he did it. Amen. So he stepped into the commandment of the Torah to love our neighbor as ourselves. He stepped into that commandment and he modeled it and fulfilled it perfectly for us, perfectly becoming the ultimate example of this particular mitzvah, right? He was the only one who could do it because only he had a sinless life. Only he had eternal blood. Only he had an eternal life. Therefore, his blood could satisfy the eternal requirement of the Father. Let's move on. Next slide. We have to ask ourselves when we recognize that when Yeshua stepped into the ultimate sacrifice for us, was he doing it because he wanted to? Was he doing it because the Father asked him to? Was he demonstrating this love on his own accord? Wasn't he in fact operating under the perfect will of the Father? Was he doing it because, and the reason I'm asking this absurd, what seeming an absurd question, some of you are saying, Ariel, come on. We know that he was willing to die. We know that he was obedient to the Father. Why are you even bringing it out in your commentary? Of course, he was in fact willing to die. But the point I'm trying to make when I say, wasn't he in fact operating under the perfect will of the Father? And I answered with, of course he was. The reason I bring this out is because he did love us enough to willingly lay down his life for us, but he walked into the will of the Father. He was empowered by the Spirit, and therefore he could do something that was really naturally impossible for any human. He willingly laid down his life because he was empowered by the Spirit to do so. He was empowered by the Spirit to become obedient to the Father's will. And so, also, he did love us enough to willingly lay down his life. But what the point I'm trying to emphasize is that it is both Yeshua's will to die and his Father's will that he should die. That's the point that I'm bringing up. There's no dichotomy between Yeshua's will and the Father's will. And that becomes the model for us. I'm about to jump ahead of myself, so I won't say that just yet. So let's just keep reading. Father and Son demonstrated love in perfect harmony. The Father loved the Son perfectly by the Spirit. And of course we know that the Son loved the Father. Let's say that again. The Son loved the Father perfectly by the Spirit. And of course we know that the Father had perfect love for his Son. Perfect harmony. But in order to further understand Yeshua's willingness, we only need to see what he also said about the love that has been demonstrated as first originating with his Father, right? Before Yeshua came to earth, we know that he coexisted with the Father. Indeed, he was one and is one with the Father. But he enjoyed a unique relationship with the Father before he came to earth as the eternal Word, which John tells us. But before we jump into this eternal Word aspect, let's read about this love that Yeshua had with the Father from eternity past. John 17:26, reading from the KJV again, quote, "And I have declared unto them thy name." This is Yeshua in his great high priestly prayer, praying for the disciples, the 12 that are there. And eventually we're going to be able to understand that this prayer applies to us as well, those of us who have named the name of Yeshua after him. But initially this prayer was for the disciples. So let's keep reading again. Quote, "And I have declared unto them thy name." Speaking to the Father here, he's explaining how that he declared unto them, the disciples, the name of the Father. "And I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." End quote. Did you catch it there? Yeshua is confessing that the love that the Father has for him, the love that the Father previously endowed upon his own Son, is now going to be meted out through Yeshua towards us. Let's read it again there. that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them. That's fantastic, people. When I stop and think about that verse and the ramifications of the powerful, eternal, inexhaustive love that the Father has for His Son is now poured out without measure through the Son to me as a follower of Messiah. That's to use modern vernacular, that blows my mind. I'm baffled by that. And so all I can do is stand in awe and praise God for the demonstration of this love. Let's move on in our slide here. Next slide. Notice also the bulk of 1 John chapter 4. I think that this is a significant portion of scripture for us to study, and so I'm going to quote it at length. 1 John chapter 4, you don't need to turn in your Bibles. I've got it right here for you on the screen if you're following along in the slide. Let's start in verse 7, quote, and I think this is from the RSV, yes, the Revised Standard Version. So, verse 7, quote, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God." Let me pause and interject. This whole teaching from John here is about love. And what's really neat about this teaching, what's really significant about this teaching, not just novel, is the way that John is going to weave together our love for the Father, Yeshua's love for us through the Father's love, and how we are to love one another. And so it really perfectly captures this theme that I'm trying to create or trying to explain about Yeshua's new commandment that's not really so new because it's rooted in the Torah, yet it is foundationally new to us because of the way Yeshua demonstrated it for us in the pages of history, right? All right, let's move on. So let me just start over again. Verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God." Next verse. "He who does not love," let me say that again. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Next verse. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." Almost sounds like a quote from John 3:16, right? "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Let's keep reading. Next verse. "In this," the way John just described it in the previous verse, this God sending his only Son, "in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins." Next slide. Verse 11. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Next verse. "No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." Verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his own Spirit." Verse 14, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world." Verse 15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." Verse 16, "So we know and believe the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." Verse 17, "In this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world." Next slide, verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love." Verse 19, "We love because he first loved us." Verse 20, "If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And the final verse in my passage here, verse 21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. End quote. Again, that's 1 John 4, 7 through 21, and that was taken from the RSV. So, what are we to make of this great passage? Let's move on to the next slide and we'll just talk about it. I think that any attempt to recognize Yeshua's love apart from recognizing and understanding God's love is not possible. I mean, after reading the verse there, and we see how John masterfully wove together Yeshua's love with the Father's love, and the way that love is fulfilled in us through the life of Messiah, through the power of the risen Messiah within us, through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the way we see that that love is demonstrated within us, we know that it's not possible to separate the love of the Father from the love of the Son as seen within us. The love of the Father and the love of the Son are inseparably tied together. But of course, you already know this, right? I'm speaking to the choir. So, allow me to come full circle by quoting what Yeshua referred to as the two greatest commands in the Bible. But we'll have to wait till next week to find out, okay? Let's close in prayer. Abba, we bless your name. We say, thank you, Yeshua, for coming and demonstrating the love of the Father for us. Thank you, Yeshua, for dying in our place and therefore becoming the perfect model of what it means to love according to the way the Father has defined love. Thank you, Lord, that you are not asking us to do the impossible. You are, in fact, empowering us to do that which you did yourself. You're asking and you're commanding us to love one another. You are telling us that what Moshe gave us, love your neighbor as yourself, can be fully demonstrated as we model what you have done for us. The funny part is, Lord, as we contemplate your example of love, is that you died for us, but you're not asking us to die for other people. No, you're asking us to do something far more difficult. Yeshua, you're asking us to live for others. You're asking us to love our neighbor as ourselves. You're asking us to love our brother, even as we proclaim that we love you and that we love the Father. And so, Father, we ask that you will empower us by your Spirit to demonstrate this love one for another. For indeed, quoting another passage, in this way the world will know that we are your disciples, Yeshua, as we demonstrate love one for another. Thank you for this opportunity to share with the students. Thank you for the responsibility to teach Torah. We'll be careful to give you the praise, Yeshua, in all these things. Amen.
That concludes our show for today. It is my desire that this continuing series of teachings will assist the average non-Jewish believer or new Messianic Jewish believer in his desire to become a more mature child of God. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. And he chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. Because the Torah is written on the hearts of all who truly name the name of Yeshua as Lord and Savior, it is meant to be followed to the best of our ability. We have no reason for fear of condemnation or the trappings of legalism. My name is Ariel Ben Lyman Hanavi. The intro and outro song were written, produced, and performed by Ryan Kingsley. For more information on contacting Ryan, you can reach me by email at yeshua613 at hotmail.com. That's YESHUA number 613 at hotmail.com. Or visit our website at graftedin.com. That's graftedin.com.